Chapter 2 God Communicates. Objective: to know the God that reveals himself in the history of our salvation. 2.1 Personal God. How can we know that God is personal? In prayer, people enter into communication with the personal God. This personality of God's is something that we experience from our condition as human beings, i.e., we perceive God as a being who hears, feels, loves, wishes, etc. And this perception comes from our own way of being persons. It is not possible for us to apprehend God other than through the window of our own experience. How do we know that God is like a person? The concept of person in our ordinary language comes from our consciousness and experience, and these in turn come from our human relationships, because we become persons in the company of others. Our experience and our personal being are grounded in God's personal being, but this does not mean that God is a person the way we are. God is a person in a much higher way. We could even say in a superpersonal or transpersonal way. People cannot stand back from God in order to talk about him or see him or have any kind of experience about him. The concept of person is a symbol. On the other hand, a God who is the foundation of the person cannot himself be apersonal. God can be nothing less than a person. We talk to God and we feel that he talks to us as a human person, but he is not a human person. Our experience is tied to the temporality of our own life, to our corporality, to our culture, to our social context, and to our circumstances. We know that in this world, being a person is the most sublime way to exist. God is like a human person, but he is not a human person. For believers, God is the absolute you, and they show their faith by addressing God directly as you. Faith is linked to prayer, and that is why believing is addressing God as you. Nobody talks to divine essence, substance, or nature. We can talk about these things, but not to them. The three-person God is the ultimate foundation of our personal being. In God, there is no personal being other than his three-person being. Christians believe that the only way God has of being personal is being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the words of the Greek fathers of the first centuries, all personal communication with God happens with the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit, which means that in our personal communication with God, a relationship is established with the three persons. Or to put it in theoretical language, communication with God is communication with what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have in common, which, without being another person, is the personal God, the divine you. And in that you, the three persons are included. The reality of the living, intimate God is the personal being of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is a person just as he is holy, just, and the Lord. All of his attributes are identified with his person, with his being. God is not a certain way and also good. Goodness is his way of being. God is identified with his attributes. When we say that God is a personal being, we are referring to his essence, but also to his way of being, three persons. God is not first God and then three persons, nor is he first three persons and then God. Tripersonal being belongs to his divine nature, which we come to know only in the history of salvation. All Trinitarian affirmations are in themselves affirmations of salvation. God's unity is also unity of event and unity of revelation. As the Son of God, Jesus is the real revelation of the one true God, and this event makes itself present and operative among us through the Spirit. Faith and love are fruits of the Spirit. God is a being who respects, who invites, who loves, who forgives, who gives of himself, who lives and gives life, and all of this as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father is God in the fullest sense, just as the Son and the Holy Spirit are. They are not three gods, but three persons. And what makes them a single entity is all of their attributes, because they have them all in common. Taking it to a deeper level, we can say that the essence, nature, or substance is one and the same for each of the divine persons. The persons distinguish themselves by their relationship, such as the Father's with the Son. Relationship is what makes them three persons. In other words, the Father is not the Son, and neither of them is the Holy Spirit. The interpersonal relationship is what explains the diversity of the divine person. But if we take the three persons as our point of departure, it is also what accounts for the divine unity, because they are always united and they are inseparable. The fathers of the early church, taking the history of salvation as their starting point and not necessarily Aristotelian metaphysics, came to know God as three persons and one God, without denying the unity, which is already expressed in John's Gospel. Jesus refers us to the Father as the one and only God, living, good, and true. In the early centuries of the church, it was understood perfectly that God was the Father and that Jesus was the Son, that both were distinct and yet fully united as if they were one thing, that Jesus was the Father's expression of love, and that both Jesus and the Father were all love, reciprocal love, but also love directed to and destined for each one of us. Reflection about the Holy Spirit came a little later, also on the basis of biblical material, but a language was needed, along with appropriate concepts, to be able to speak deliberately about Him. When missionary activity centered on the person of Jesus and the communication of His message and saving work, it was also necessary to talk about the action of the Holy Spirit, even before His nature could be determined more precisely. The early community became aware first of the function of the Holy Spirit, then of His nature, and finally of His personal being. Activities. Among simple people, what do you think are their experiences of God? Simple, everyday experiences. 2.2 God and the history of salvation. The greatness of human beings lies not so much in their being the center of everything, or even in being the owners of themselves, i.e., conscious, responsible, and free. It lies in their being transcendent, even though they do not know the goal of their transcendence. It lies in their needing someone who is beyond them, someone who reaches out to them. That is what constitutes their greatness and not their limitation. The fact that they are called to open up to God and give a response invites them to reflect on the true God, on God as He is in Himself, not on the truth by which I apprehend Him, which will always be limited and progressive. But He will necessarily be God with us, for us, because of us and from us. God reveals Himself in His salvation. We will always think about God in the Trinitarian context, because the Trinity refers to God's communicability, and conversely to faith, which is people's openness to God. God is not only the one who exists, ipsum esse subsistens, and who makes everything exist. He is also primarily the one who makes Himself known in His revelation and communication. Jesus belongs to the definition of God. God is the one who reveals Himself and communicates. It is important to note that together with Jesus, as the head of a single body, is the Father, who reveals Himself as the Father of Jesus and our Father, and the Holy Spirit, who lives in us as in His temple and has been given to us. In relationship with the three persons, we also belong to our notion of God and to our faith in Him, because the God we believe in is linked to our salvation as communion with Him. It is true that we can know God with the light of reason. We are intelligent and free, even in our understanding. But revelation allows us to know Him with greater clarity and certainty. He made us persons so that we would fulfill ourselves gradually and contribute creatively to our own fulfillment, and also so that He could communicate with us little by little. If we are more or less capable of knowing ourselves and loving ourselves, we are also more or less capable of knowing and loving God. There is a certain parallelism between God's life and ours, between God's way of acting and ours, although there is also an immense difference. If you then who are evil know how to give your children what is good, how much more God? If there were no point of contact between reality and our knowledge, we would not be able to know anything about God or about anything at all. And God wants more than to be understood by us, to be loved as the only one in Himself and for us. And thus He says, "Listen, Israel, Yahweh is your God, Yahweh alone. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." As people, we know ourselves in depth, not by taking psychological tests or undergoing clinical analyses, but through love. The same thing happens with God. We know Him when we love Him. God makes Himself known to those who love Him. Wanting to love God is already knowing Him in a way. God's tripersonal mystery is not just verbal or conceptual revelation. It is mystery grounded in facts, in the fact of salvation. God is not just a mystery in His being, but also in His acting, full of love and mercy. About God, we can say that He is in a continuous relationship of creation, redemption, salvation, and glorification with each one of us, and that this relationship is established by the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit. In other words, in the history of salvation, and in our own history, the Father is involved as the origin of everything, the Son as the emissary, and the Holy Spirit as the sanctifying and glorifying gift. We know God through our living, reflective, and personal being, but mainly through the history of salvation, i.e., through what He has done for us. This is what is often called the economy of salvation, or divine economy. It refers to the succession of actions through which God reveals Himself and gives Himself to us for our salvation. Through what God is for us, we know what God is in Himself. We can say something with certainty about God's way of being from the way He acts toward us. If He were one way and acted another, He would be incoherent. His way of acting necessarily corresponds to His way of being. invoking a principle of unity and coherence. We speak of what God is and how He is only on the basis of what He does for us and with us. The mystery that faith is interested in is not primarily the mystery of what God is in Himself, but of how God shows Himself and acts toward people. There must be a correspondence between God's way of being, immanent Trinity, and the way He has revealed Himself to us and saved us, economic Trinity. But we must also bear in mind that God's eternity surpasses what we can know of Him in space and in time, in the culture in which we live, and in our limited understanding. God is more than we can express, believe, and hope. Our knowledge of God must be a way to deepen our faith. In fact, our way of believing, of loving, of serving, and of abandoning ourselves to the encounter with God and with Jesus must have an impact on the way we encounter others. We encounter God in Christ, and we encounter Christ in others, particularly in the neediest. Trinitarian faith demands from us a Trinitarian, concrete faith. The Trinitarian mystery underlies and is present in all the mysteries of the Christian faith, in the mystery of reality or creation, in the mystery of incarnation and redemption, in the mystery of resurrection and glorification, but also in the mystery of life, of conscience, of freedom, of love, and of sacrifice, and of everything that has to do with the person. And in a very special way, in the mystery of our final communion with God. The Trinity is a mystery of salvation that pervades and must be present in all prayer, in all theological treatises, in all catechesis, message, or celebration of salvation. It is a value worth noting that the Eucharistic celebration has never lost its Trinitarian character. Know yourself was the imperative of Greek humanism. Know your God is the imperative for the biblically minded, for whom there is no self-knowledge without knowledge of the living God. For St. Paul, knowing Christ and the dimension of His love is the imperative of Christian faith. Knowing ourselves leads us to a greater understanding of Christ, who is human like us. Knowing Christ leads us inevitably to a greater understanding and appreciation of ourselves. Full knowledge of Christ assumes knowledge of Trinitarian faith. Activities. Make a parallelism between the history of salvation and the parable of the wicked vineyard workers. Choose an event and describe how it can be understood as God's saving action. In the form of prayer, Our Father, we know that by communicating with us and letting us communicate with You, You make us more conscious, free, and authentic, that in the human person there is perfect harmony and communion with You, that salvation is union with You, and that You saved us by taking what we are and giving us what You are in Jesus Christ our Lord, and that through the strength of the Holy Spirit You join us to Yourself in Jesus, that the temporal life we are living is the key to eternal life. Grant us in our human condition, that is, in our weakness, the gift of reproducing the image of Jesus in this life and in eternal life.